If you will, let's go Mark chapter number 4. Let's stand together. If you're glad to hear today, say amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter number 4. Verse number 5. We continue our sermons on the soils today. Verse number 5 says this. And some fell, let's talk about the sower, who went out throwing seeds into this field. And verse 5, you remember last week we talked about the wayside the last couple weeks. But verse 5 this morning says, and some fell on, say those next two words, stony ground. There's a lot of people that say, "Brother Troy, I'm saved. If God wants me to grow, He'll grow me." That sounds spiritual, but the Bible says we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We're to take hold of Christ, and we're to make sure that Christ is being formed in us. Why? Because we have a responsibility to grow in our faith. Now, this morning, you say, "Brother Troy, why is this important?" This is why. Because some Christians, they do good for a little bit, and in the words of the preacher, the FBI can't find them in 2 weeks. Say, "But what happened? God went on vacation." Nope. What happened? The Bible changed. We got the same Bible. This Bible's from eternity. Somebody say
amen. Amen.
You say, "But it's the church, my friend. Churches, this church belongs to Christ. It's my Sunday school teacher. Hey, do you know that God allowed that person, that physician, to help you in your faith?" And the truth of the matter is, this morning, Christians are not growing in their faith, and they're not taking their faith serious. And you may be sitting here this morning, and you think church is something you do. My friend, church is not something you do. Church is to equip you so you can go home and live the Christian life on a daily basis in your life. And if you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, understand this morning, you need to grow in your faith. You don't need to be a shallow Christian. You need to be a deep Christian in your life. You need to be a Christian when the wind blows, you go deeper. When trials come, you go deeper. When circumstances change, you stay faithful. Why? Because you are a growing Christian in your faith. Now, if you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
You said, "But Joy, this morning, why is this important?" Number one, if you're taking notes, once you jot this down, you need to realize the seriousness of not growing. You need to realize the seriousness of not growing. What do you mean? I want you to, if you will, go to Hebrews chapter number 6 with me this morning. Hebrews chapter number 6 today. If you can turn there with me, flip in there. Just go to the back and try to look for James if you can. Revelation, if you don't know where it is. And it's before those books of the Bible. For our new Christians, by the way, I'm glad we got new Christians that are looking for it right now. Amen. They don't know where it is. Hebrews chapter number 6. I want you to look there if you will. Hebrews chapter number 6 this morning. And I want you to look at this. Number one, if you're not growing this morning, you need to realize the seriousness of not growing as a Christian. Because here's the concept. Brother Joey, this. Genesis 49, verse number 3, the Bible says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. So who does he start with? Why did he start with Reuben? Look at me this morning. Reuben was the firstborn. What does that mean? Of all the children, Reuben was the first son that he had. Why is that important? This is why. Because in those days, whoever the daddy was, the firstborn was the one that would inherit everything that his father had. Please stay with me right here. The firstborn not only would inherit everything, but he had rights to everything that his father had. If that guy got in a pickle, he could run to his father. If he needed power, he could run to his father. If he needed resources, he could run to his father. If he needed help, he could run to his father. Listen to me. The firstborn was unstoppable in the eyes of God, if you can, in the Old Testament. So he goes to Reuben. He says, Reuben, you're my firstborn. You're the one entitled to everything I have. You're the one that has the secret to all the resources I have. Everything you need in life, Reuben, I can supply to you. Why? Because you're my firstborn. Is it sounding like a Christian yet? But you said, Brother Joey, what did his dad tell his son? Look at verse number 4. Look what he says in verse 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. What did he say? Here's what he said. He says, Reuben, you're my firstborn. But because you're unstable, because, you listen to me, you're not growing, because you're not going to develop, because you're up and down, up and down, up and down, because one day you're doing good, the next day you're doing bad, one day you're going to live for God, the next day we're wondering if you're going to walk away from God. And he said, hey, Reuben, you're my firstborn. Everything I have belongs to you. You had access to it, but you're not going to excel. You're not going to become what God wants you to become. Why? Because you will not grow. Now, if you got that part, say amen. Here's why it matters. When we come to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, I came to give life and life more abundantly. What does that mean? That means in every area of your life, God has abundant life. What is abundant life? How many of you like eating waffles? You go to our Waffle House here in town. You don't have to do this, just a suggestion. I got the chance to prove it. Amen? You can order their peanut butter waffle. And they take that waffle, and it comes out of that cooker hot. They put little bitty peanut butter chips on there, and it melts, and then you get chocolate added, and it'll melt, and it just kind of smolders down into little holes. Anybody hungry yet? Amen? But now watch this. And when I get that waffle, when you get that waffle, you don't take that little cup of syrup and tear the top off and just drizzle it on there. You get that jar and you pour that lid and you just pour it on there until it runs over the side. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
That's the difference in an abundant life and just getting by. And Jesus said, if you come to me, I will give you abundant life. I'm not going to give you syrup in a half-ounce bucket with a little top on it. I'll give you a jar with a lid, and it'll pour over more than you can hold in your saucer. Somebody say amen up there. And the reality is, when we come to Christ, everything that we need in our marriages is in Christ. Everything we need in our relationships is in Christ. Everything we need in our finances is in Christ. Everything I need in my, listen, my sanity is in Christ. Christ said, I didn't come to give you life. I came to give you abundant life. And life more abundantly. Hey, and as a Christian, everything you need is in Jesus Christ. But some of you today, you're struggling. You're not excelling. Your marriage is struggling. Your home is struggling. Your finances are a mess. Mentally, you're a nutcase. You say, but Joy, what's wrong today? You're not growing in your faith. Now somebody say amen. And that's sad. I'm going to tell you that's sad for us. That we, not only is it serious, we need to take not growing serious. But it is sad. There's people that are sitting in this room that know Christ, and you are miserable in your life because you are not growing. Now you say, Brother Joey, this morning, how can I get past this? How can we get to the point where we are becoming what God wants us to become? You ready? Here it is. Because I promise you this. You may be saved today, and some of you living like this, and you're wondering, Brother Joey, I'm just barely hanging on. Your marriage is one fight away from divorce. Some of you, you're bouncing around in your life. You're spinning your wheels in mud. Why? Because you're not growing in your faith. And I want to tell you, until you grow in your faith, this is how you're going to look the rest of your life. Every area of your life, this is what it looks like. You know why? Because you're not growing in your faith. You're saved on your way to heaven, but that's all. You need to grow. And it is serious not to grow. What can happen with that? But it is sad that you're not growing, because everything you need is in Christ, but you're not experiencing it because you are not growing. Now, I'm getting ready to divide us this morning. If you're still breathing, say amen. I'm telling you, what I'm getting ready to preach right now from the Bible will divide us more than Auburn and Alabama. I know what I'm talking about. Because here's what we want. We want a Christianity that serves us. What can you do for me? Do you know that's not in the Bible? What can you get in church and do for your Christ? That's what the Bible teaches. What can you do for him? How do we fix it? Go to Romans chapter 12. I want you to see this. We'll be done this morning. Romans chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Got a Scopeville Bible. It's on page 1206. Amen. You may be here, you forgot your Bible. There's a purple Bible in front of you. You'll take that Bible and go to 1206. You'll see this. You need to see this. It's awesome this morning. I'll tell you, it's been a blessing to my heart the last couple of weeks. Studying this. Romans chapter number 12. Here's what I want to do. I want to read verse 2. Why do I want to read verse 2 before verse 1? Not because I'm trying to set you up. But here's what I want you to realize. How many of you would be honest and say you've ridden down the road and you saw somebody ride past you in a Ford F-250, side rails, chrome toolbox, tinted windows, mud tires, and you thought, boy, I'd love to have that. It's just me and David, the only two calm people in this room this morning. Okay. But if you want one of them trucks, you need to save up. And when you get your kids are good and gone, then you can go get you one. Amen? But until then, you'll be glad it cracks. Everybody wants that Ford F-250. But everybody don't want to pay the price to have the Ford F-250. Everybody wants the abundant life. But everybody ain't willing to pay the price to have the abundant life. And some of you here this morning, you need to get a hold of this. Because some of you, you're so emotional in the mess, you're almost suicidal. And I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to pay the price? Your marriage is on stony ground, one big storm, and it's over. Are you willing to pay the price? Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus can fix anything. He can do it. It ain't his fault. It's your fault. Are you willing to pay the price? Look at verse 2. He says in verse 2. He says in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2, he says this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what they would bring it to the altar, and they would set it on the altar. Now watch this. If you just set it on the altar, and they break out the tools, how do you believe that animal, when you poke it, is going to try to run away? How do you believe when they turn up that heat, and that animal begins to feel that heat, he's going to try to jump off that altar? So how did they keep a living sacrifice on them? What you say to me? They had two hooks on the end of those altars. And they would take one hook, and they would dig it into the front of that animal, and they would take another hook, and they would dig it into the back of that animal, and they would pin that animal down, and then the master could do whatever he wanted with that sacrifice. Why? Because it was pinned down. What are those two hooks? You ready for this? They are dedication and commitment. They are dedication and commitment. And my friend, if you want to grow in your life, you must dedicate and commit yourself to God. You must bring yourself to the altar, and you must give it to God, and you must be committed to God. You must be dedicated to God. Hey, it's not just going to church every now and then. It is giving yourself to God and committing yourself to God. Hey, and when the storms come, you're committed to God. When you don't understand,
said, but your leg's broke. You might do surgery, but put it back in place, put pins in, put it in a cast. And he said, doctor, don't do it. I said, what do you mean? He asked the people that were with him to call the stadium and see what quarter the game was in. And it was halftime, and his team had went from supposedly dominating the game, and now they were behind 27-2. And laying in the hospital, he looked at the doctor, and he said, I'm going back to the game. Back then, they didn't have all these policies in place. You could do what you wanted to. He looked and said, take me back to the ball game. And then the third quarter, Bobby Leftwich came walking out of the tunnel, hopping on his leg, barely put the pressure on him, walked up to the sidelines, and he said, coach, put me in. He said, how's your leg? He said, it's broke. He said, well, you can't play. He said, coach, I'm on this team, and I'm a quarterback, and I'm going to play. And you may remember throughout the game, the video here, incredible, you go on YouTube and watch it. Every time he would drop back and he would let me throw in the ball and he'd turn and throw the ball, linemen would come in and get under both arms and they would carry him. They would carry him down and they snapped in the ball and he would throw again and they would carry him downfield. And you remember one play where he threw like a 60-yard pass and the boy caught it and he's got in down like 3 or 4 yard line. And linemen carried him all the way down the football field. Listen. And he went out and played with a broke leg. And I'm going to tell you, that is what it means to be committed. And if you want God to work in your life, if you want to win, you've got to be committed. When it hurts, when it don't hurt. When it makes sense, when it don't make sense. When it seems right, when you don't know what is right. You are committed to what you know, to the cause of Christ. And my friend, if we will lay ourselves in living sacrifice, then God, he will work in our life. We will know the will of God. We will do the will of God.